Welcome to Eye on the Illini. I'm Mike Kegley here with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. We wanted to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on in portal combat. So, Brad and Ked, I think the biggest thing this week, obviously, is Hum Rickhaus, Big Ben, 6'9", 6'10", you know, power forward, can shoot the three. Brad, give me kind of a breakdown. I know Illini guys subscribers, of course, have already seen you guys when we had the gurus talk about what they see, but let's talk a little bit about it for our fans of Eye on the Illini.
Well, I think the biggest thing with him is he can shoot, right? He's a tremendous shooter, 41% from three. He was 47% on open catch and shoot threes, 39% on contested ones. So
wow,
that's pretty good. He scores all three levels, made 68% of his shots at the rim because of his body control and skill level. He actually has deep range, 13 threes were 25 feet or deeper. He was 87th percentile in spot-ups, 1.19 points per possession. He also is a good passer. He can facilitate. He scored 1.39 points per possession as a ball screen handler, which is one of the best in the country, top 3% in on synergy. So 97th percentile on synergy, which tells you that he is a guy who can facilitate off a ball screen. Now, some of that's he's playing against bigger guys, so he can – centers aren't good at navigating screens. Historically. So it's one of those things where he's able to take advantage of his size and his versatility and quickness and ball handling skills. The other thing he can do, he can run the floor a little bit and spot up, but also he can rim run a little bit, because if you play the spot up or play the rim run, he's going to be open for the other. And so you can, there's a lot, he's a good Swiss Army knife type guy on offense. And, you know, he's also not a bad defender. Defensively, he can block some shots. He's a decent rebounder. So, yeah, he does a lot of things that are going to help Illinois. And you can see how they could use him in post-ups. They could use him as a ball screen handler, a spot-up. There are so many options for him to basically take advantage of mismatches.
One of the things I like about him is that, you know, and we mentioned this before with Ben, is that him being able to play multiple positions. I know you said use him in different ways, and I really mean, like, I mean, he'll never be able to play the two, but with his size, you could get away with him playing the three, get away with him playing the four. And one of the things I did some research on yesterday, which I didn't know, he was injured a few times last year, and he was still able to come back to put up some good numbers. There were a few games, I think three times, where he sat the side out during the season or maybe during his career, but he was able to bounce back to put up some really, really good numbers. You know, a lot of people, I know we're talking about Ben, but a lot of people, if you follow the recruiting rankings and if you follow the NBA stuff, the guys on their roster right now with Colin Boswell and Kerry Booz and now with Ben, a lot of those guys are NBA guys that have been our NBA scouts have been snooping around. So when you're questioning the roster, you know, you got to look at what they're doing, because I think people are automatically thinking that they're going to find this magical Terrence Shannon guy who's going to come in and be Terrence Shannon. There's only one Terrence Shannon, but I think Ben is going to be able to provide a lot of different things. I think you can even put him in booty ball matchups, because he's a good passer, just like Marcus Domas. So he will bring a lot to the table. He's a big, big piece to what they're trying to do on offense and defense. And, you know, if there was a guy I like to compare him to, you know, for the people who are in the older generation, he reminds me a lot of of a Christian Laettner from Duke. You know, is what he reminds me of, because he can shoot it, a good passer like Brad mentioned, and, you know, he's smart and he's very, very intelligent. I think Illinois got a steal out of this kid personally.
Good. And when it comes to the defensive side, you know, he's got a little more weight than Coleman had. I don't know that they want him playing fives on a, you know, 40 minutes a game, but he does have the ability for short bursts to play in the paint like that, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's where you can use him, much like you use Coleman Hawkins. The one thing about him is, you know, Illinois, there was a lot of things they said, well, Coleman playing the five. Coleman played the five for like 30 minutes a game at times. I mean, that's just too much. But you can do possessions, like 5-minute stretch, and let the guy play the five, take advantage. And then it doesn't take the beating either, because and you don't worry about the foul trouble as much either. That was also Coleman's trying not to get in foul trouble last year, playing exactly. the five. And so I think that you can do this for like stretches too. So let's say you're at the end of the game, you're on offense. You can play with him at the five and make somebody come out and go. Now you can pull that guy away. Now all your guys can get to the rim because there's nobody back there because they have to pull out against him as the five. So you take advantage of those on possessions at the end of games and things like that, because let's be honest, how many times at the end of the game do teams dump it into the post? I mean, does it happen? So they don't throw it in the post. You just don't, unless you're Zach Edey.
Yeah.
You know, so that's about it. I mean, nobody else does that. Everybody else is ball screens or pin downs, and it's just, you know, it is what it is. So, but yeah, so I think that's where he can be effective.
Yeah, I don't want to repeat myself, but I really think, you know, putting him in situations where he could defend the five, and a lot of times, you know, like Brad mentioned, late in games, it's all about matchups. You know, and that's the one thing I give this staff credit for last year. The entire season, they exploited a lot of matchups. Every team's going to have them at some point in time, but if you put together a good enough roster where there's enough good offensive players, they're going to be able to find that guy who they can, you know, kind of pick on a little bit. So, but again, you know, him and his size, and, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, for the people who haven't had a chance to look at him, you watch some of his highlights. I mean, he finishes around the rim, but he's also a really good quick catch and shoot guy. All the guys that they have coming in, you know, Kerry Booth is great behind the arc. Yep, not saying that he can't improve, but they're shooters. I mean, that's typical what Brad Underwood wants. There's a lot of guys can shoot. Other than Ty Rodgers, that's what he had last year. You know, when Justin Harmon came in, if he replaced Ty, you had five guys with Lou Diddy. They could all shoot the three. So that's what's nice about putting a roster together like that. A lot of coaches always talked about Illinois is tough to guard because you have to pick your poison. That's really going to be the case next year, especially with a guy like Ben, I think.
Yeah, and I talked to the WJBC play-by-play man for Illinois State University, and he said Rick House just took apart ISU piece by piece, and there was nothing they could do to stop him. So that's always encouraging to hear that type of review. Now, the other, you know, big story is, and I'll be honest with you, I don't see this as a surprising story at all. Coleman Hawkins, we know he has a high basketball IQ. He has announced that, yes, his main focus is going to the NBA, but he did go into the transfer portal at the last minute to make sure that if something happens on his way to the NBA, it's like an insurance policy. And look, the bottom line is if you decide you're coming back, you have then the ability to let people bid on you. And who knows, will Kentucky have a full 12-man, you know, 13-man roster? Will North Carolina, will, you know, Arkansas, all these teams that seem to have a lot of dollars? It gives Coleman leverage. I think I would have told my son to do the same thing. Brad?
For sure. Every kid should do this. I mean, like, if you're entering the NBA, just enter the portal, because what's the downside? You know what I mean? Like, you should do this because it's smart. And yes. There's no downside to entering the portal. You can go back to the same school you had, but it keeps your options open. And let's be honest, a guy like Coleman is coveted. You know what I mean? Like, why would you not want him? Like, there are a dozen teams that are going to want him. And I was talking to an assistant coach who's not at Illinois, and he told me that he thinks Coleman could command between $700,000 and $1 million if he did that. So,
wow.
There you go.
Well, it's funny you guys brought him up. Because of Twitter last night, some fans kind of sparked a fire and tagged me and Coleman in a tweet about an article that I wrote in. You know, it was pretty heated. So then I just picked up the phone and called the kid. I'm like, listen, we've been friends. I've been around since the day you were born. You know, for those people who are new listening to this Eye on the Line podcast, I'm family friends with them. And, you know, you're right. Coleman told me he what he said was, I'm not going to be Kofi. I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm going to do exactly what Brad Sturdy just said. I know there's a possibility of me making a lot of money out there if the NBA works, and that is his dream, you know. And I'm not going to share the entire conversation because a lot of that stuff was personal between us. But I can honestly tell you, you know, I do think his days at Illinois are done. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but I do think a lot of his days are done, and I think he's had enough. So, but I think also some school is going to want a guy like that. I don't think he's going to make $1 million in the NBA. I just really don't. So if we read the writing on the wall, I think Coleman's going to be in a different uniform next year. You know, kind of like we talked about on our previous podcast, seeing Luke Goody and Coleman Hawkins to me in a different uniform is going to be really hard for me to watch. It really is. I hope if he does, you know, put on a different uniform, I hope it's in a different conference. I don't want to see him in a conference. I was hoping Luke didn't do that, but that's just wishing, you know, on one hand, however. But again, I think he's done. I think he, you know, one of the things we talked about, the fans were listening to this. You guys were great for Coleman Hawkins. You have no idea. When times were tough, when things were stressful with school and the losing, you know, early on and him sitting, the fans, he mentioned that to me a million times. I mean, the Illinois fan base is tremendous. Yes, there's always going to be a few, but the support that you guys gave the program and him, he'll never be able to replace it, he said.
Yeah, it'll be a sad day when he's not playing, you know, if he does end up playing college basketball somewhere else. Personally, I mean, I don't know what the NBA options are for him. I would love to see him in an NBA jersey. But at the same time, we all recognize that it's probably the most physically demanding sport to make it as a pro. And it's not easy. So we don't know exactly where he'll end up. But, you know, if he ends up in the NBA, that'll be much more palatable to me as a fan. But I will wish him all the luck in the world as long as he's not playing against Illinois. If he's playing against Illinois, then I'm going to have to say, hey, I hope you have a rough day for this one single day. And then from that point on, I'll be 100% behind him. There was one other portal addition, which was not a surprise. I think we've been getting this signaled from both of you for quite some time, but Nico Moretti decided to go into the portal as well. Brad, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was expected. The kid wants to play, and he's not in the mix in Illinois. They added Kylan Boswell, which means Kylan Boswell is going to play 30 minutes a game, probably, at point guard. And so doesn't leave a lot of options for the guy behind him. And I think also they have guys like, you know, Ty Rogers wanting playing time, Draven Gibbs-Lahorn wanting playing time in the backcourt, and Nico is down the line. So if he wants to play, he's going to have to go somewhere else. I will say this. I think Nico's going to be a good player wherever he goes. I think he can go down – if he went to, like, a Missouri Valley or a MAC or what – in the MAC, they don't play defense, so he would just dominate.
Yeah.
He'd be great, you know. So in 2 years, somebody will offer him a millie to come as a transfer. That's the way things usually work, right?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Once I saw the other MACs exodus, then, you know, you brought the other guards in. Then once I saw Draven coming back, I thought, I don't know how much he's going to play, because if you saw down the stretch, he didn't get a lot of playing time late in games either. So having said that, I mean, I do think he'll be a good player in time. Just right now, I don't think it's a good fit. I think it's wise and smart. There's nothing wrong with these kids want to play. You know, people, you know, they like these players, and you become fans of them. But at some point in time, my philosophy has always been, go somewhere where you can play. Why sit on the bench? You know, if you don't like it, especially in today's climate, go play. You only get one shot at this. And then when you're 30 years old, you don't get a chance to do that.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that at all. Of course, wish him well. He had a fantastic game. What was it, Iowa this year?
Iowa.
That, yeah,
he probably won the Iowa game,
yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah, and I will tell you that just as an old guy, okay, this old guy shouting at clouds, as an old guy, I miss the four-year journey that we would have that resulted in a Robert Archibald being so great, you know, in his last year. Watching Brian Leonard kind of get better each year, and I will miss that. But at the same time, you know, under the new system, we would not have gotten to see a guy like Terrence Shannon or Marcus Domask very much in the past. So mm-hmm. I guess the give and take is there.
Yeah.
So I guess with that's
one way to look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a different
positive
world.
Positive spin, baby. Positive yeah. spin.
Different world out there. We're all adapting. Final, any predictions on the future? I know Illini fans are on their edge. There's still open scholarships. That doesn't mean, I think one of the things that's important is they don't have to sign everybody by like tomorrow. You know, there's not this deadline. And I believe you said, Brad, that some of the best folks who've transferred in, you know, haven't officially even made that decision until late May in the past. Any thoughts on what the future might hold?
I think Illinois is going to add a big guy and a wing, and then we'll see. I'm more like a wing guard and a big guy. I think the one of them will be a European. I would venture to say they're going to add a Euro big. We've talked about, you know, on the Illini Guys message boards, Tomislav Ivicic, whose twin brother Arkansas now, played at Kentucky last year. He's on the NBA draft radar. And this kid's twin brother is same age, so he's older, 21, but he's a little bit thicker. Maybe doesn't have the same upside because he doesn't have that bounciness, but he's lefty, he can shoot it from three, and he's physical. So I think he would be a great addition. He'd be the five-man that they like because he's a five-man that can space.
Yeah.
And that allows you – here's the thing. That allows you to play Ty Rogers too, because if you have a five-man that can space, Ty Rogers has more value than if you don't have a five-guy who can shoot it. So you imagine, you know, if you've got that guy and him, Rickhouse and Ty Rogers, you become a better rebounding team. You come to him with some length and athleticism, you Boswell a point, and, you know, whether it's, you know, a Trey White or you've got, you know, whoever else you bring in on there as well. And you throw Jake Davis and you've got some really a great shooting team that you can put on the court. So I think that they'll probably get a portal guy, still a guard out of the portal who can, you know, who can come in and play and be a creator and kind of things. I was actually talking today that's one thing they were kind of looking for. There were a couple guys that can shoot, but maybe some guys that aren't only attack closeouts. They need some guys who can actually create, whether it's off ball screens or ISOs or whatever it is.
Well, I, you know, from what I was told, I know there's going to be minimum two, possibly three. The third one is going to be kind of a wild card because of what I think they want to do, and it makes total sense to me. They want to bring in another backup point guard, and here's why. Anything could happen to Colin Boswell. I mean, he could get hurt, be in foul trouble. Yes, Draymond is there, but he's not a point guard. That's just not who he is, and, you know, the coaches know that. Could he play the point, bring the ball down the court? There's a difference. Sure, he could do that. But I do know everybody in the world knows that they want a big, and I do think they have a good shot at getting one. I know they would like another wing. So I know I just put this on our message board. They're going to bring some people in, and they feel pretty confident from what I was told, you know, talking to some of these players, that they know they're going to be able to put a full roster together. I would like to see them bring in another big as well, because the same thing with the backup point guard position. Just having that one guy could backfire. Look how well it worked out for Dane Danger in the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. You know, they finally played him, and he was able to show what he could do. And he kind of, you know, you got to talk about Nico turning around the Iowa game. Dane turned around the Big Ten tournament, the way I look at it. So having another guy like that, you always want to have an insurance policy plan. And I would like to see them bring in another guy to do that. But it's also tough to bring guys to come in to sit. You know, I think Justin Harmon was a special dude to come in to take that role on. But maybe you go get a mid-major guy who wants to be at Illinois and you try that. But I personally think they need another wing, two bigs, and another guard. That's my personal opinion.
Good, good. So that gives you a little bit of idea as to what's going on. Of course, you can subscribe at IlliniGuys.com. $99 a week. It's very, or excuse me, hopefully $99 a year. Actually, $99 a week would be very good. No, $99 a year. And we would love to have you as a member. And of course, when you're back in the message boards, that's where you can get an awful lot of information. And we know that there's an awful lot of people who subscribe, who go out on Twitter and say things based on what they hear with us. But I tell you, it's good to be in the know, have an idea of what is being looked at. And sometimes you get the little hints ahead of time that give you an idea of what may be coming up, and you can be the person at the water cooler at work who's the expert because you're an Illini guy. So with that, we will talk to you next time. We'll have a podcast when conditions warrant. Until then, go Illini.